This is Rita Wilhelm, and today we are talking on the telephone with blogger guru Dave Taylor, who's going to be sharing some blogging tips and strategies with us. Dave is an author, a speaker, trainer, and he is also a strategic consultant. He works closely with companies who want to benefit from the blogosphere. And Dave himself has two very popular blogs, which we're going to be learning more about. Welcome, Dave, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Hi, Rita. Great to be here.
So, Dave, maybe you can start off by telling the listeners exactly what a blog is.
Okay. At its most basic, a blog is a publishing platform that makes it so easy for you to add new content to your site that you do so frequently. And the reason I say it that way is because most websites are fairly onerous to add content. And so what ends up happening is, particularly with small businesses, you build the site, you get it to look nice, you have your mom check it out, your brother-in-law checks it out, everyone says it looks cool, and then you walk away and you never touch it again. And that's a mistake, because the more you can keep things updated, the more you can keep adding new content, the better search engines like you, and the more they like you, the more likely you are to be found online.
Okay. And I know that your blog is part of the blogosphere. What exactly is the blogosphere?
It's one of those bits of jargon that seem to arise in any industry. And the blogosphere is basically the collective set of all blogs that are out there, all the way from, I guess, the kind of material that people are posting in their MySpace blogs, up to WordPress.com, which has a million blogs of its own, and Blogger.com, which is owned by Google and has a couple of million. Microsoft has MSN Livespace, which again has a couple of million. I mean, there's zillions of them out there, but the blogosphere is sort of the overall aggregate collective.
And so there would be lots of different types of communities within the blogosphere then. Would you say that to be true?
Right. I mean, it's just like saying, you know, American society. You know, the fact is that there are millions of sub-societies or subcultures or, you know, communities within it, but there are nonetheless certain aggregate features that are true overall, though less and less over time.
So tell us a little bit about the blogs that you have.
Okay, well, I actually have three. I hate to correct you on this.
Oh, I thought you had two blogs. Okay.
So I have probably the busiest is AskDaveTaylor.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is tech and business questions and answers. And I have posted a new Q&A every single day since 2003, I think. So, I mean, it has thousands of entries on it. And there are entries that have hundreds and hundreds of comments from people. And, you know, some of it's really good reading, some of it's really not very good reading. But there's certainly a lot of answers there for people. And it ranges all the way from, you know, how do I put music on my iPod to how do I fire an employee who's not really good for my team. And right now we're seeing about a million visitors a month to the site. So it's, you know, definitely hugely busy.
Yeah, you get a lot of traffic on that.
And then number two is my business and management blog, where that's at intuitive.com/blog. And that one is where I talk more about the sort of management and marketing consulting that I do with companies. And, you know, not so much what I do with companies, but more my take on what's going on in the industry overall. So, for example, a piece I wrote this morning talks about some of the problems that Walmart is having in its senior management and why it's good that they aren't blogging it, because I sort of posit, here's what it might look like if they were all blogging it, and you can see where this would be really bad for the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, which I know you've already referenced, is the parenting blog that my wife and I write at apparenting.com. And that one's my most personal blog of the three. And, you know, I write about pretty much whatever catches my fancy there, and sometimes I'll write two articles in a day, and other times it'll go 2 or 3 weeks without anything, so it's fairly random. But what I've tried to do there is, instead of having a sort of commiserate with me parenting blog, which is how I feel most of them are, I've tried to actually bring up topics that I think are important for parents to think about. So talking about things like video games and whether children should have TVs in their rooms, and, you know, how do you deal with the fact your kid doesn't want to go to sleep when it's bedtime, those sort of topics. So that can definitely be probably the most amusing of all in terms of being a very readable blog. And there's certainly a lot of people contribute their own perspective, really, on a wide range of different attitudes. So I talked once about why we don't hit our kids when they misbehave, and then promptly got all these people posting about why they think it's very necessary to be spanking your kids on the slightest infraction. And then other people popped in saying, oh, you should never hit your kids, and here's why it's just really messed, you know, it messed me up when my dad did that when I was a kid. And so there's a lot of interesting insight into different perspectives on that blog.
Well, and you know what I think is amazing about all your blogs is I personally do a lot of research on the internet, and I'm constantly amazed at how often I see one of your blog entries appear in the first page of Google search engine results. You just mentioned that you blogged about Walmart, and I'm certain that, you know, somebody's going to be researching Walmart in the next, you know, couple weeks here, and they're going to find your blog entry right up there in the top of search engine results. Everywhere I go, I seem to find your blog. What has blogging done? What kind of an impact has it had on your business?
Well, certainly in terms of reach and visibility, it's been huge. But, you know, a lot of the sort of goal of any business, you know, small business like I have, is to sort of establish your authority in your space. And I think that people that haven't read the book, The Tipping Point, really should go run out right now. I mean, actually pause your player and pop over to Amazon.com or something. But I think it's really important to understand that the way that societies work is that we give trust and authority to certain people, and then we just take what they say without really processing or thinking about it much. And if you can become one of those authority people in your industry, you really have an extraordinarily good position to be able to turn that into a successful business. So as a consultant, as a service business, even as a product business, you know, if your company is the company that always has the best snowboards in the world, well, people are going to come and buy your snowboards independent of how much they cost and independent of how much the competitor's snowboards cost. In fact, the competitors will help cement your position because they'll say something like, this is just as good as a Burton board but less expensive. And, of course, then what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, I'm just going to buy the Burton board because I don't want to buy the secondhand, the clone, the one that's like the, you know, the cheap knockoff.
Yep. Well, and I think it's also interesting that 1 in 3 Internet users right now are searching user-generated content and reading what other people have to say and making a buying decision based on what their peers are saying. So what you say in your blogs is very important. So I would imagine that your blogs, because they're very different from each other, attract 2 completely different types of audiences. Tell us about the communities that you are part of in the blogosphere.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm part of a lot of different communities because some of the communities I'm part of are communities that I watch to see what's happening, even though I don't participate directly. Mm-hmm. For example, the world of peer-to-peer networks and online hackers. I'm very interested in what motivates these guys. And, you know, for all the bad press and all the, you know, bad hackers out there that break into a machine and steal data, there are actually a lot of people out there that are just smart and curious, and they just poke around, and it's interesting to read, you know, how they justify, for example, distributing a free copy of Microsoft Office so that you don't have to pay for it. You know, I mean, it's clearly illegal. It's
mm-hmm.
clearly not something that they're authorized to do, and they clearly will get in trouble if they get caught, but their rationalizations are very interesting. So, you know, I'm part of those sort of communities, and I'm also certainly part of any community that I have a professional interest in. So I read gadget blogs, I read news feeds from major news sources where they talk about electronics and computers and software, and I read Reuters and AP and UPI and all these different publications for parenting issues. And I mean, I think generally one of the really cool things about being online is that any of your interests, however large or small, now you can jump into that community and you could be a part of it, either just as someone who's reading or someone who's actively, you know, participating. And I'll tell you that I frequently exchange email with people from the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and Business Week and such. So in the business and management side, you know, I've really put the effort into being an active participant in that community. And, you know, in many other communities, there, I'm sure they have no idea that someone like me is reading it, you know, especially stuff like MySpace, where the average age, I think, is like 15.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a while since I was 15.
Now, would you say that most of these communities are formal communities or informal communities?
I would say it errs much more towards the informal side. And even the communities you would think would be formal, like people talking about corporate finances, it's surprisingly informal. And that informality comes out in maybe the language that they use, maybe there's a sprinkling of obscenities or informal talk, or you know, rife with cliches, whatever. But the nice thing is that I don't know that I've encountered very many communities, if any, that weren't very accessible. So if someone's just getting into whatever space they're in, you know, if you're into NASCAR, there are lots of people out there writing about NASCAR that would be happy to have you involved, even if you're asking the most basic of questions of what does NASCAR stand for, or how come everyone, you know, what's so cool to you about NASCAR that you're willing to sit in the hot sun for an entire day watching cars go in a circle?
Right. So how do you find these people with similar interests or these informal communities?
I think the main way to do that is to be a little bit of a detective. So if you, for example, read, let's just say, Baseball Today, and in there they have occasionally they mention bloggers that are blogging about baseball, go and read their blogs. Look to see if they have what's called a blog roll, which is a list of other bloggers they like, and or in their individual articles they might mention or cite other bloggers. And just start expanding your horizon based on that first starting point. And then as you go along, you know, keep doing the same for the next level. So now you're reading, you know, someone else that's also a baseball blogger, and you decide, well, I don't really like their perspective, and I don't really like the fact that they're so confrontational. But on the other hand, they link to seven other baseball bloggers that I've never read before. So I'm going to get those links, and then I'm going to not read this person, because obviously, unlike the newspaper, you're not stuck with whatever someone else puts on your front page. You are able to pick and choose what you want to read. But in terms of finding these people, I think that's one very good strategy. And a second one is that there's a blog search engines like blogsearch.google.com and Technorati, Technorati.com. And on either of those, you could just go and type in a couple of keywords to do with your space, like Boston Red Sox or NASCAR fans, and then see what comes up, and then go and just poke around and explore a little bit. I mean, it can be a little daunting when you have just a blank screen in front of you, but with a little bit of homework and even just going just straight to Google and just Googling something like NASCAR blog and see what comes up.
And so how would you engage these other bloggers, the NASCAR bloggers or the baseball bloggers, to build your own community?
I think the key idea there is that you have to be part of their community first. And the way that I sort of envision this all as you start, you know, you go to a new college and you really want to have a successful party. So a bad strategy would be just to put flyers everywhere and say, big party. And the reason that won't work is because people don't know who you are, and they're not going to potentially risk a bad Friday or Saturday night going to a party that's a dud. However, if you go to other people's parties, and then you are an engaging, interesting person, then people will start to know who you are. And then a few months later, you throw a party, and everyone shows up because they're like, oh, yeah, I know Rita. She's so cool.
And is there an appropriate way to engage other bloggers? When you go on their blogs and comment on their blogs?
Absolutely. And the key idea is, I think, to respect other people's opinions and to be participating in their discussion. And again, if we look at the party metaphor, the equivalent there is if I go to your party and I have a sign around my neck that says, I have fabulously interesting things to say, please come and talk to me, you can imagine I'm not going to be very successful at that party. But on the other hand, if I just see a group of people talking and then I stand, you know, I sort of worm my way into the group and they're all talking about whatever topic and I then continue that conversation about that topic and I have something intelligent to say, then they're going to say, oh, who's this person? This is interesting. Hey, we'd like to meet you. Hey, you know, we're going out afterwards. You want to come with us? So the blog equivalent of that is that you need to actually add comments to other people's blogs, which is really easy. It's not at all intimidating. And, you know, when you add those comments, take into account what people are saying and what the discussion is, and then add your perspective in a thoughtful and coherent manner.
And is that what you did to build your blogs to where you're receiving 1 million visitors a month, did you say?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's definitely part of the secret sauce, if you will. I mean, you know, there's certainly other things I've done, not the least of which is also pay attention to my search engine results and modify my blog as it made sense to maximize that. But generally, yeah, I mean, I think the best way to become a known player in your space is to figure out who the other known players are and, you know, participate intelligently in their discussion forums.
So you've been blogging for a pretty long time, what, since about 2003, or have you been blogging longer than that?
Well, it all depends on how you define blogging. It was in 2003 that I started up with a tool that labeled itself as a blog. But prior to that, I think that you could make the case that I was doing more or less the same things anyway, through discussion forums and through mailing lists. You know, it's like anything else in the technology industry. It's not one morning someone woke up and came up with a completely different idea. Everything inspires other things, and so there's always a sort of trail backwards you can follow to the crudest, most rustic of technologies.
So do you think for a new blogger coming in that there are still opportunities out there?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there always will be, because there's always the opportunity to be a new, intelligent, and engaging voice in a market. And you can see that in any business. You know, you can see that, for example, there was sort of before the Blair Witch Project, everyone just assumed that any indie movie or independently made movie was never going to really hit the big time. They'd never make it onto major screens, and that would just be the way it is. And so you made independent movies to get practice so that you could attract the attention of a major studio and then get onto those major studio screens. And the Blair Witch Project, among others, really showed that that's not true. And in the blogosphere, it's very much the same thing. If someone, whatever space you want to be in, politics, sports, parenting, business, chocolates, you know, anything you want to write about, if you have something intelligent to say and you do it persistently and you engage the community that comes to your site and you are participating in other people's communities, then I think the sky's the limit.
And so let's say we have a business owner, and he sells toy pedal cars, and he has decided he wants to get involved in the blog world and create his own blog. Where would he start?
Well, I think the first place to start would be to say, I have pedal cars. Who's my target market? My target market are probably parents. So let me go and let me start looking for parents who are blogging and are talking about the challenge of finding decent toys in this age of overly electronic gizmos. And then maybe when you see a parent talking about how, oh, I wish I could just find something for my kid for his birthday that didn't involve a Game Boy, and then you could post something saying, actually, you know, if you spread your net a little further than the local Walmart, you'd be surprised at how many different toys and how many different options there are. And just as an example, you know, we were looking at some toys for our kids, and we're so overwhelmed by how many bad choices there were, we actually went ahead and started making some. And our best seller is a wagon. You know, it's something that you figure, oh, well, maybe my parents used this. But the fact is that I could show you videos of kids that just spend hours going in circles in the driveway with their toys in the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and something like that, it's just like, oh, that's interesting. And what you need to think about is not only will that blogger read what you've written, but everyone who goes to that blogger's site will also read what you've written. And some of them might very well say, oh, I want to go find out about the wagon you sell. And then sort of an advanced approach to this might be to literally send a wagon to a half dozen bloggers and just say, I know that you write about parenting. I know that you have kids. We have this great wagon, and there are 15 characteristics of it that make it a unique entry in the market. I'd like to just send it to you free. You don't have to send it back. And if you really like it, I'd love to have you write about it. And, you know, write, if you don't like it, feel free to write about it, too, and tell us what's wrong. But here's a gift from us because you're doing such a good job.
Those are some great strategies. Well, so to finish up this call, Dave, what are the 5 tips that you would give a brand-new blogger?
5 tips, huh?
Five
top tips. I have to enumerate
them.
Okay, well, the first one is spend a little time reading successful bloggers before you start writing. Second one would be from the very first posting that you make on your own blog, make everything important. In other words, I think that a lot of bloggers start out and their first blog is just testing, and their second blog is let's see if the editor works, and the third blog entry is, well, let me see if I can add a picture, versus their very first entry being, here's this new toy that we just got from our manufacturer, and I'm so excited about this, and, you know, here's a little video of my nephew playing with the toy, and look at how much fun he's having. It's amazing. In fact, he was really upset when we had to take it back because it was only a demo from the manufacturer. So that's number 2. Number 3 is, I hate to say this, but you got to pay attention to grammar and spelling because you have to come across professionally, or what will happen is you'll alienate your audience before you start. There are very, very, very few communities where it is a benefit to spell incorrectly or to have poor grammar. One of those might be if you're aiming at the late teen market, having what people call SMS talk or cell phone talk, where it's like the letter B and the digit 4 instead of the word before. But even that is, it gets awfully hard to read after about 5 or 6 words. So I'd use that very sparingly even in that community.
Okay.
And let's see, number 4 is spend just as much time participating in other people's communities as trying to build your own. And number 5 is very much tied to that. Participate in other people's communities. Don't spam them. Make sure that you always have something intelligent and interesting to add to whatever conversation you're a part of. And number 6, a free bonus one, is have fun. Because people that are having fun doing this, it's very obvious, and they're much more interesting to read, and you're much more likely to convert those visitors into customers, whatever it is you're selling. And bonus number 2, I'm telling you, I can't stick with the 5.
We're lucky.
Right. So bonus number 2 is don't write about what you want to say. Write about what you think your customers want to hear. That's a big one, and that's really mostly for your own blog. But the difference there is that if you keep publishing press releases, no one will ever read your blog because it's not interesting. But if you know your customers, for example, let's say we sell lawn furniture.
Mm-hmm.
An article on your site about how to take care of lawn furniture would be a great article. It doesn't mean you're selling anything. You might not sell soap to clean furniture or something. It doesn't matter. The point is that there are people out there that have lawn furniture and they need help, and that might be their entry point into your site. And so then if they can find out from you secret tips to make that umbrella last another season when the umbrella isn't any good anymore, then they might just turn around and buy it from you.
Those are great tips, Dave. I really appreciate your time that you gave us all today. And for all the listeners, Dave is available for speaking, consulting. You can find him again at intuitive.com, askdavetaylor.com, and apparenting.com. And anything else you want to add, Dave?
Oh, boy. I think that's good. I'm really glad to have had a chance to chat with you, Rita.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Okay.